I had this message all prepared by Monday, last Monday. And I'm laying in bed last night going through the notes, and the Lord gave me another insight. And it's all kind of, I got to put it in somehow. And it's not going to show up on the slides. But someone here needs it. So here it goes. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We remember the resurrection of Christ today. Years ago, when I was a pastor, I used to organize all these youth camps. And, sometimes it's a challenge. You got $18 to feed, all these kids per kid, $18 per teen. And we had to feed them for 5 days. So that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so that was a lot of fun. And we used to go to this camp, Shiloh Christian Center in Fenland Falls. I don't know if you know where Fenland Falls is. It's north of Lindsay. You know where Lindsay is. It's not too far away. And it's a rundown place. The Argonauts used to meet there. Hockey players used to play there. But it's now a Christian camp. And there's one year that I couldn't find a speaker. I didn't know who the speaker could be. And the Spirit of God moved me to ask Scott, Pastor Scott. And here's Pastor Scott with his wife, Faith. And he looked a lot younger back then. Okay, this is a more recent picture. I don't know why. He's the guy who organizes the camp and why I asked him. So I asked him. What I didn't know was he's a pastor. I didn't know was that he pastored a church up in Fenland Falls, and he was a speaker, and he was the right speaker for us. And we've gotten along over the years and made a friendship. And it was a story that an incident I heard, and I said, is it true? So I phoned Pastor Scott, and I asked him about this story. I said, is it true that someone died in your church during your service? And he said, well, it's kind of true, because what happened was the elders came up to him. He says, Pastor Scott, yeah. Think Mrs. We just call her Mrs. X. Mrs. X is dead. Why do you think she's dead? Well, she's turned purple and she's not breathing. What should we do? Should we go on with the service or do we call 911? I mean, what would you do, right? And finally, the decision was call 911. And they called 911. And the police came, and the ambulance came, and the fire trucks came, and the whole thing, the whole service was disrupted. Life is like that, isn't it? It's like a disrupted service. We live the way we go, and one day we're interrupted by death. Death interrupts us. However, for the Christian, death is not the end, but it's the beginning. It's the beginning. And we have hope because we believe in the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is the climax, the central event of all history. Now, you could believe that, or you could not believe that. What distinguishes Christianity from all other religions? What makes Christ so different? We have other leaders. Buddha, who died and was buried. Muhammad, who died and was buried. Krishna, who died and was buried. Vishnu died and was buried. But Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. Without the resurrection, we would all go back to the circle of life, like in the Lion King. Without the resurrection, we would all end up as part of some cosmic soup of energy and somehow evolve again into meaningless existence. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in Corinthians 15. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. See, you either believe or you don't believe. The central message of the New Testament is about the resurrection. It involves the resurrection. The gospel involves the resurrection. Peter, when he preached in Acts 2, and we see Peter here, he said, this man was handed over to you to be God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. Later on, Peter said in Acts chapter 4, then know this, that you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Central to the message is the resurrection. The Apostle Paul, when he was in Antioch of Pisidia, he said, but God raised him from the dead. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. He said to the Sanhedrins in Acts chapter 23, Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection, and others were Pharisees who do believe in the resurrection, called out on trial. He says, My brothers, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. And this is the hope that we have in the resurrection of the dead. Paul, before King Agrippa, says, why should any of you consider it incredible that God raised the dead? In the letters of Paul, Paul wrote this, and this is what the gospel is. For what I receive, I pass on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. When he wrote to the Philippians, he says, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Peter, in the other writings, Peter wrote, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. The Apostle John met Jesus, who said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. We think of the claims of Jesus, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, because I live, you also will live. We all know that Christians, we believe, supposedly believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But what does that mean to you? I mean, it's overwhelming that Jesus rose from the dead, and this is what they believed back then in the first century. But what does it mean to you? How will you respond? Some of you will respond by reason, scientific medical explanations. Some will be hostile towards such belief, especially those who don't believe in a resurrection or they hate the things of God. They will say all kinds, give you all kinds of doubts. Others will be full of belief, and some people just don't care. Remember when Paul preached on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, and he talked about the resurrection? And there were three responses. One response was they mocked him. It says when he heard about the resurrection of the dead, when they heard, some sneered. But others says, we want to hear on you again the subject. Some were interested, and some believed. We later on read that some believed. Now, Albert Henry Ross, was a lawyer. And he was taught to analyze everything, be skeptical of everything. And when he heard about the resurrection, he thought it was a myth. It was a fairy tale. One of the biggest hoaxes in history. That's what he said. So he decided to study the resurrection, because he's skeptical. Whether it's true or not, it's probably not true. But you got to have evidence. You can't just say, no, that's not true, or that is true. Well, how do you know it's true? See, it's whether you believe or not believe. How do you feel about the resurrection of Christ this morning? Are you trying to intellectualize it? Are you hostile towards it? Are you apathetic towards it? You've all heard it before. I mean, you know, one of the challenges of a pastor, and you can agree with, I hope you agree with me on this, is that when you come to Christmas and Easter, you know, there's just so many messages on Christmas that you can give, and there's just so many Easter messages that you can give, right? You can't, you know, eventually you go back to the same ones after 4 years or 5 years, or depends on how creative you can get. What's your take on the resurrection? You've heard it all before. We may identify with some of the reactions of the first news of the resurrection. The passage we just read, there are some people who respond to the resurrection with fear. And the setting of the resurrection, we read in Matthew chapter 28, the setting here, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. First day of the week, day one, reference to the Sabbath. The seventh is the day of rest. So the worship of the Israelites, it's usually on the Sabbath. But the first day of the week, it's a resurrection. It's a new covenant with Jesus. I mean, why do we worship on Sundays? You ever wondered that? Because they worshiped on the Sabbath all the time. And then all of a sudden we worship on the Sunday because Jesus rose on the Sabbath. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and the wife of Clopas, and the other women that we read about in John chapter 19, they came to look at the tomb, expecting a body to be there. I mean, maybe they didn't have faith in what Jesus had said. The Jewish tradition is the spirit of the body leaves after 4 days, and the body becomes disfigured, and there's stench and no longer recognizable. If you remember Martha's response to Lazarus, death. She said, but Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been here there 4 days. Maybe the women came to Jesus' grave with the intention of anointing his body one more time before the spirit departed from it. The women came one more time because of their love and devotion to Jesus. Now, that's the setting of the resurrection, the scene of the resurrection. We see that in verse 2, it says there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were afraid of him, and they shook and became like dead men. There was a violent earthquake. This is the second one in 3 days. The first one tore the curtain of the temple from the top to bottom. You read in Matthew chapter 27. The angel rolled the stone and sat on it. Now, there's a question of who rolled the stone. It's answered here. The angel did it. That's the simple answer. But this was not to let Jesus out, but to let the women and the apostles in. And the angels appeared like lightning, suggests God's glory. Clothed as white as snow, suggests God's purity and holiness. And the guards were so afraid they shook. It's a personal earthquake of the mind and body. They become like dead men. They were paralyzed with fear, became rigid, traumatized by what they saw. That's the scene of the resurrection. Now, the sense of the resurrection in verse 5 to 7. Angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Do not be afraid. The soldiers had good reason to be afraid, because the empty tomb meant their death. But the women, it was words of comfort and assurance. "I know you're looking for Jesus. God overlooked their weakness of faith, lack of understanding and knowledge, their lack of realization of the situation. He has risen. He's been raised, and it shouldn't surprise you. Just as he said, go tell his disciples." The women were fascination becomes proclamation. Going ahead of you, we hear about Jesus being appeared to over 500 people at once, and the start of the ministry of the apostles. The women initially reacted to the resurrection with fear. They weren't sure what it all meant. Faith is weak. They needed comfort. They needed assurance. See, it's an issue of belief or unbelief, isn't it? Do you really believe? I mean, we're sitting here now, like 2,000 years later, saying, well, why couldn't they believe? Why couldn't they have faith? Yeah, you know, a few years ago, my wife and I and a group of people went on a mission trip to Uruguay. And this was back in 07, I believe. And we were at the airport and, you know, we were all preparing for this. And I used to meet up with this lady, a Jamaican lady from black Jamaican lady from Jamaica. But I met up with her every Thursday because she was a prayer warrior. Her name's Gloria. And I just wanted to learn to pray because I really, even as a pastor, like the disciples who came to Jesus says, teach me to pray, teach us to pray, because I don't know how to pray. Like, you know, and we were praying for the mission trip, and she prayed because some of the ladies didn't want to see any cockroaches. And she prayed that there won't be any cockroaches, they won't see any cockroaches on the trip. Did we see any? Did you see any? I don't think we saw any. But when she was praying that, I was skeptical. I mean, of course, I went to the Philippines, and there were cockroaches all over the place. But not in Uruguay. And I was surprised. But there was this doubt in my mind. There was this, you know, unbelief. We have that, don't we? We have that unbelief. Albert declared that he would do research in order to prove or disprove Jesus' resurrection. And that's what he did. It was all unbelief. And we live in a world on unbelief. You believe or you don't believe. Now, some would respond to the resurrection with joy. Some with fear, some with joy. The women hurried away from the tomb. And they were response to the angel's command. Afraid yet filled with joy. It says, understand the remnants of the fear tempered with great joy. Mary Magdalene left to tell Peter and John before the angels appeared. And Jesus appeared to her in the garden. And she cried out, Rabboni, teacher. She told the disciples who did not believe her. And their disbelief showed they had no intentions to steal the body. See, the disciples had disbelief, right? This was in verse 8. Is there a joy in your heart? What's the next slide? Yeah, that we kind of missed that one. Is there a joy in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead? The future's not in this world, but the world to come. But do you believe that? Do you believe that? The temporal things are insignificant compared to the priceless things of eternity. You ever been to the airport on the anticipation of reunion with a friend? Right? This is a great thing at the airport when you're waiting for a friend to come, you know, the arrival is standing there and you're waiting up. Oh, is that him? Is that her? And you haven't seen each other for years. And the resurrection means one day there'll be a reunion like that, that we will see people that we haven't seen in years, in a lifetime. Some respond to the resurrection with worship. Jesus met with the women and greeted them. It was a casual greetings. Suddenly he met them, greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. And there they will see me. They took hold of his feet and worshiped him. The risen Messiah, divine Son of God, Lord. That's how they saw him. When you see the resurrection, in the resurrection, who Jesus really is, it's a matter of seeing who Jesus is when it comes to, it's not about just believing he rose from the dead, but, you know, it results in worship. This is not just realizing that Jesus is supernatural or rejoicing the salvation he can provide, but that he is Lord, worthy of our worship. If you believe that he is risen this morning, then you must respond in worship. Not just Sunday after Sunday, but daily, every moment, we acknowledge he is Lord. We worship him with our lives. And can you describe that your life is a life of worship? This is where you believe or you don't believe. If you believe Jesus rose from the dead, you will worship him. Not just on Sundays. Not just on this 1 hour in a week. But 24/7. My brothers, they will see me. His word is true. He has power over death. He will build his church. Death can be conquered. Judgment is coming. There will be justice. So my question to you this morning is, how do you react to the resurrection? Are you skeptical, apathetic, hostile, fear, uncertainty, joy, or worship? See, we must see who Jesus is. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's interesting, belief or unbelief. Thomas was one who had unbelief. He doubted. He was known as Doubting Thomas. And yet, when he saw Jesus, when he saw him, the resurrected Jesus, he said, "My Lord and my God." You either believe or not believe. People all over this world, they said, if we only see a sign, you know, if we only see a sign, we only see a miracle, then we will believe. But the truth is, you can see a miracle and not believe. That's the whole point of the Old Testament. The Israelites, they saw the plagues of Egypt. They saw what God did with the Egyptians. They crossed the Red Sea on dry land. They ate the bread, manna, and still they were with unbelief. They experienced all these miracles of God, and they had unbelief. Albert Henry Ross, he weighed the evidence of the resurrection that he has studied. His conclusion was that Jesus actually rose from the dead, and he became a believer. He wrote a book, and his name had a pen name called Frank Morrison. And he wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone. We know it's the angels, but he went a bit deeper than that. Jesus rose from the dead. You know, unbelief, we could have the greatest experiences and still not believe. My friend Scott told me what happened that day. And he's a Pentecostal preacher, so Baptist preachers don't do this. he decided to say, well, no one should die. No one should die worshiping God. So he hovered over her. And he said, in Jesus' name, live. And she sat up. Well, you know, she sat up, but everybody else freaked out. what just happened? And he said, Scott told me that a few days later, she came into his office. She said, Pastor Scott, thank you for raising me from the dead. Now she knew exactly what happened. And he said, well, there's a purpose. There's a reason why God brought you back. He said, well, I love coming to your church because you make such great sandwiches at the end. And they're delicious. And he pressed her on her spiritual condition. And she wouldn't talk about that. She likes talking about the sandwiches and all the social events. The sad thing was that he told me, Pastor Scott told me that he never saw her again. You can go through the resurrection and not really deal with the real spiritual issues, belief or unbelief. You see, when you know Jesus, nothing is dead. Nothing is dead. He is the resurrection and the life. When you know Jesus, nothing is dead. No dream, no relationship, no marriage, no difficult circumstance in your life. They may have died, but there is a resurrection. When you see in the resurrection who Jesus is, the response has to be belief and worship. I just conclude with this. Isaiah was wrong prophet. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Elijah. That's the prophet, Elijah. And I ask you this, because they were on Mount Carmel. And they said, you either believe in God, the Lord, or you believe in Baal, the idol. Well, how long will you waver between two opinions? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, follow the God of money, follow the God of entertainment, the pleasure. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, worship him. Follow him. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, but he rose again. We thank you for that hope. And help us to believe. Help us to live as though we believe, not as though we do not believe. Help us to share your gospel with those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.